Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord loves us all. He takes us serious. And the Lord wants us to take Him serious. There's many things the Lord wants to introduce into our realm. You know, the Word says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And the enemy is, like I've been saying all week through different broadcasts, he's trying to get us to operate and pay more attention to the realm of the world, where the kingdom of God is. What if we learn to operate in the kingdom of God, we have kingdom abilities. On the 28th, on Tuesday, the Lord had me talking about your kingdom abilities. We have abilities. And then he had me talking about rejectable things on Wednesday. He had me talking about things we must reject. We don't just learn the Word of God. We reject things that hold us back. And yesterday's broadcast on the 30th, last day of June, 2022, was genuine. When people have a genuine heart, it shows how the Lord can work in their lives. Now, this is almost a sequel to that one. But this one is called New Standards. Now, there's things that the Lord wants to introduce into our realm. And I remember Kevin Zeta, I listen to him on YouTube sometimes. He's been on See It Raw. And he has a prophetic ministry as well. And he went to heaven. The Lord took him to heaven and showed him that there's many books and songs and revelations the Lord wants to introduce into this realm. Now, once it's done, see, when a pastor or any preacher receive something from the Holy Spirit and relay it to us, they introduce us to something that will cause us to understand how to operate in the kingdom of God better, how to serve God better, how to receive from the Lord better, how to make adjustments better. All these things are necessary. And what happens after that, we have new standards. And sometimes people look at the most prominent men and women of God as having the greatest word on earth. But actually, it's the people that's been listening to them for years. And I can prove it. Because all of the young people who sincerely love God, that's been sitting under good men and women of God, pastors, prophets, apostles even, and evangelists, people that's been in the Word around the healing miracles and healing ministries, they've been absorbing the Word from, and they have a repertoire of revelation. And when they minister, then it'll be revealed. When the Lord launched them out into ministry, it'll be revealed. So guess what happens? The standards arise. New standards are set. People walk in greater and greater glories. Now, the first scripture I want to use is, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the key verse in chapter 3 is this: "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, the Holy Spirit is giving us the light and revealing it to us as we can receive it and not getting pride. That's also important. When the Lord gives us knowledge and wisdom, it's up to us to receive it in our hearts and let it grow roots and not getting pride. If the devil can't stop you from receiving it, he'll try to introduce something to choke the word. If that won't work, he'll try to get you in pride over the knowledge you have. And see, people get in pride over something. If pride looks within. Every time somebody say, "Well, I got it now. I got this." As if I can do this without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Or I can do this without the strength of the Lord. Or I can do this without more knowledge. I can, you know, I know what to do. I've been doing this a long time. I got this. That's when the enemy has an advantage against them. And that kind of leaven hinders many people, good men and women of God. If you don't know to watch out for it, you get caught up in it. And sometimes people fail when they have success. And that's the reason why. Anything that takes your focus off Jesus. See, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added." What he didn't say was, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added. And then you don't have to seek God anymore. He didn't say that. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, that's an everlasting standard. And then all things will be added. And then more knowledge will be added. See, the cycle of life is to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. If the Lord told that to Satan, that would have been wasted words. Why? Because he doesn't have a heart full of love. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you didn't tell Adam to love. He said, son, all he understood was love. To a person that has love in their heart, all the Lord have to do is say, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Or what he said in Mark 16, go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. Now see, he was talking to his disciples, which understood that they could do nothing without Jesus, because he had just told them that in St. John chapter 15, which was like a few days before. Now, when it was understood, that's our commission, but the way we perform that commission is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, the Lord will give you what to do. In Acts, you saw them after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved and many more got saved. Miracles happened. You saw them in the temple praying, seeking the Lord. They didn't just go around ministering without prayer. They went in. They stayed in God's presence, and they drew near. They continued to draw near to the Lord. They continued to get instructions, and then as the Lord would give them assignments, then they went out and did these things, and then they had good success. See, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, now you're a candidate to introduce greater things into this realm. And you don't have to be a TV preacher, a radio preacher. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to be a pastor. And I sought the Lord, and God, he flooded me with revelation. That's the best way I can put it. He flooded me with revelation. And at a time, I didn't have a vehicle to get the revelation out unless I talked to individual people. And I found it to be just like Paul said to Timothy, that the day will come they won't endure sound doctrine. And so some people would love it and eat it up, while some people, you'll say a few things and they'll get full and they couldn't take no more. And all these things puzzle me. Why? If somebody, when I first got saved in 83, the years are 84, 85, 86, and 87, the guys would, we would get together and clean up the church every Friday night. I did it from the end of 83 all the way to 86. We would clean up the church every Friday night. Wash the baptismal pool, vacuum the floors, wipe off the pews, dust everything. And the church would be beautiful Sunday morning. While we were doing that, we were listening to Bishop Bonner and Elder Lewis tapes and other people's tapes and music and enjoying the word. We wanted all we can get. So, to the pure, everybody's pure. You know, in other words, when your heart is set like that and you see the rewards of it, you see the blessings of it and the benefit of it, you want the same thing for others. And you think other people would do like you, but people are varied. And that don't mean that they're bad people, because they only receive a little word and are satisfied. But I had to learn these things, you know. But what I'm saying is, as you draw near to the Lord, you're hungry for the word. Everybody's not as hungry. But the Lord will show you how to introduce things to people, because he loves them. God always comes and meet people where they are. He trained me that way. You just give people what they can receive. And they still share the responsibility of everything that... The reason I say that, when people are receptive, God can work with their level of reception while he has a chance, while they're still breathing. And it's very important to give people whatever God give you for them at that time. It may make the difference in their life. Now, the Lord wants to introduce things, and he does it to people as much as he possibly can. And I say that boldly. He does these things as much as he possibly can. Now, while we're trying to learn, while we're trying to understand and grow, the enemy is busy trying to keep us from learning. You have to understand this. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face beholding his as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now let's back up. Now, verse 1. He said, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some others epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So, in other words, they don't need approval to do what the apostles didn't need approval to do what they were doing. And they weren't trying to be the big shot. Do we begin again? Now, he said, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some others epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? No. You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. See, as the revelation flows, people receive it, and as they live it, they become able to introduce new standards to this world. And the world can't do nothing but see it. They have to do something with that information. When the light is shining, they're setting a new standard. Either people are going to receive it or reject it. It's going to cause a revival or a riot. That's like my pastor said. Verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. So when you receive the word of God, this is the power you operate in. This is the love level that you walk in. But he explains some things. Watch verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. See, because God is supplying us. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Now, the Spirit of the Word is what, that's what the priest and the Pharisees and Sadducees failed to receive. The intent of the Word. And sometimes people preach without the intent of the Word. Now, they're dealing with the letter, he said the letter killeth. If you separate the Word from its intended meaning, then you can't live by that. You can only live by what God truly meant. And some people would say, as I was taught, the rightly divided word of God. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away? Now they saw the Shekinah glory of God on Moses' face. Now watch what happens. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? What they saw was a result from the Spirit of the Word, because Moses received the Spirit of the Word. But how will people interpret it? You know, like I said in other broadcasts, you can't receive God's Word with Satan's ears. It's just, I gave the example last week about how we would be the head and not the tail in Deuteronomy 28, in the early parts of 28. Some people take that with Satan's, when they listen to it with Satan's ears, it means that I'm better than you. But that's not, see, if you live the Spirit of the Word, then you'll be the head and not the tail. You're not going to be the head and not the tail because you're preeminent or better than somebody else. In fact, there are people out there in the world that if they were saved, they would be more dedicated than us. It just depends on the person. But God is trying to reach every soul. So if you're living the intended meaning of the word, the Spirit of the word, yes, you're in covenant with God. And that covenant causes you to be the head and not the tail. Why? Because you're a servant. You're a greater servant. Those who are greater servants always receive. They always understand. People that have the love of God, they're able to do what others refuse to do. The love of God is what set people apart. See, alright, let's look at verse 8 again. He said, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? How shall it not be rather glorious? The ministration of the Spirit. That's the heart of God's word. Verse 9, for in the ministration of the condemnation be glory, Much more, the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. See, when you hear God's word with the intent to do right, the intent to love, you won't miss the point. And people who go by the letter of the law without love, they've totally missed the point. They wanted Jesus dead and thought they were righteous. The Laodicean church didn't, they couldn't disqualify themselves, because pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred, saith the Lord. Now that's what God gave me about pride. The Laodicean church, they felt like, hey, we're rich and approved of God. They didn't know Jesus said, and Jesus said this, they didn't know that they were miserable, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Or miserable, wretched, poor, blind. They didn't know their condition. And then he said he's going to spit them out unless they repent. He said, I wish you was rather was hot or cold, cold or hot. If you're going to die, go on and die. But if you're going to live, go on and live. But that middle ground, there is no middle ground. Either you're leavened or you're sincere. And when people are not sincere, then God can't, they're going to choose the devil's way every time. That's what insincere people do. They miss the point. And they become pointless. I don't like saying, I'm saying these things not to bash anybody. I don't want that. But that's what happens when you're leavened. You act witchy. You get upset quick. You're quick to talk about others. And you don't want to hear about love. And that's a problem. And God can't rest on that. The Holy Spirit can't rest. He can't. When John saw the Holy Spirit rest on Jesus and remain. Now, he tried to rest on people, but he can't remain because they're messy. And they choose to be messy. Some people give in to Satan's tricks before they get it right, which I hope they do. Not only for their sake, but the people that they are representing God to. The way we represent God will affect the next generation. You have to understand, it will affect your children first and foremost, and then everybody else that know you, because your children live with you. All right, verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. See, that goes, let's pause right here, verse 11. I know just the scripture to show that point even in a more perfect way. And this is 2 Peter chapter 1 at the end of it. Peter said this, he said, here it is. He said, verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now watch verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now watch this. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now they heard the Father say this audibly. Verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, not only in the spirit but with our ears. He didn't say that, but I know it's how it was, because some people thought it thundered. When we were with him in the holy mount. Now, verse 19. Now watch this. This is the one that proves the point of 2 Corinthians 3 and 11. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Watch the key verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he called that a more sure word of prophecy than when they audibly heard the Father say that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He put the words of the prophet on a higher level. See, God will give you, and I know there are many times I ask the Lord for a confirmation. He always 100% of the time gave me a confirmation as long as I was in faith. Now see, as long as people are in faith about what the prophet said, then God will give you confirmations. What the spirit of the word, the intent of the word, what the Holy Spirit revealed is a higher grade of glory than when the Father spoke out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. See, when they're hungry for the word of God, when they treasure it, when they treasure the word of God, that's what happens. Some people can't get enough, while some people spit it out. Or they let the devil trick it out of them. If you want something in the world, you got a problem. Now, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, I know coming out of the world, I don't want to go back to it. I didn't leave the world to come back to it. I left the world and I don't ever want to go back to it. I want to be saved and I want to honor Jesus with all of my life. If what I'm doing don't honor Jesus, I don't want to do it. But I don't know how to do that. I want you to teach me how to live. Teach me how to love. Teach me how to be wise. Teach me how to be covenant appropriate. Teach me what I don't know. Help me do it. Because I can try to do stuff, and I have done that. I have tried hard to do stuff and fail. But when I involve the Lord and seek Him, He always answers me. And then, you know, Jesus said that they that love much, they that were forgiven much, love much. Well, some people did more stuff than I did. They stayed on the worldly train longer and got more involved with it, but God saved them and they appreciated it so much. They didn't think they could ever come back to life. And they loved God. They got a super devotion. Now, I'm not in competition with people, but I wanted a super devotion too. I wanted to love God much. So I made an appeal to God. I said, "Lord, teach me to love your people. And I want to love you more and more. And I want my love to be multiplied. I want to love you as if I was way out there strung out on drugs, selling drugs or whatever people do. I want to love you much, and I want it to increase." See, if you can ask or think it, God can do it, because He can do more than you can ask or think. And then I wanted to hate sin. David in the Psalms said, "The froward mouth do I hate," or sin that he hated. And that gave me an idea. I said, "Lord, I want to hate pride." And the reason I said pride was because I knew God hated. That's the sin God really hates. Now, lust is bad enough. That was a bigger problem for me. So I said, "Lord, teach me to hate it." I said, "I can't be tempted with cigarettes because I never smoked." And I said, "Every temptation that the enemy's been aggravating me with, I want it to be like smoking. I want it to be like cigarettes because I hate cigarettes. You can't tempt me with cigarettes or wine or any kind of booze or drugs." But I said, I had to have some kind of starting reference. I said, "I want to hate it like that." So some people used to smoke, so that wouldn't be a good reference for them. They're trying to forget how it was. I hate cigarette because it makes your clothes stink, it makes your car stink, it shortens your life. When my aunt died when I was around 7 or 8 years old, and my mom told me why, she used to smoke. I hated cigarettes from that point on. And I had family members that smoked. And I loved them. You know, my two nephews, my older sisters used to smoke. So one day, I said, "We ought to just hide all the ashtrays." Now, we didn't want them to die, so we wanted them to quit smoking. So we hid all the ashtrays. Anyway, nevertheless, that didn't go over good. But anyway, there's no limit to how much you can hate wrong. Now, I can choose to hate wrong all I want to, but when you involve God, now you're gonna supersede everything. Oh, God will teach you how to hate what you want to hate, the sin that you want to hate. He'll help you do it. He'll show you how to do it, and it's in the Word. And as you study the Word, if you're trying to do it, He'll help you do it. And if you want to love Him more and love people more, I learned more from the Lord asking Him to teach me to love His people. I didn't know. I learned so much more. I received tons of revelation because I asked the Lord to teach me to love his people, and I meant it, and I stayed after him about it. Everything he taught me, I quickly applied it. And guess what? He loaded me up with revelation, and I didn't have no way to relay it. When I look at some of my old writings, it's like the Holy Spirit just gave it to me. It's current. That's why it's called living letters. And I have many writings, and pray for me that I'm very busy. I need to publish all those old living letters. I don't think I published most of them. I had another website called livingletterministries.com, but in my being so busy, I forgot to update my card, and the whole website got taken off. So I still got all the words and everything that was on there for several years, from 06 to 2015 or 16 or whenever it stopped working. It's going to take time to republish some of those things. But anyway, when you ask for prayer, you get help. So pray for me that the Lord will help me manage everything better, so I have more time to publish. I want to share those old writings because it's knowledge. God, he gave it to me to give away, and I gave it away, but I want to currently give it away. And I haven't been writing. I do these broadcasts now. So I thank God for that. But if God give me writings, I'll publish that too. But most of the stuff that I'm going to be publishing came from a long time ago. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, okay, the glory that we see in the Word is greater than visible glory that was on Moses' face. That's what we're talking about. All right, let's look at verse 11 again. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Now, the glory that was on Moses' face was great. But the revelation knowledge of the Word, that God, when the Lord opened your eyes to his Word, that's more glorious. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We don't want to use God's glory as a platform to show off. That's what he's saying. We make it plain so you can get it. And I believe in doing that. I don't believe in using big words, fabulous words. My daddy didn't do it. I believe in making it where people, you know, when the Lord tell me things, I say, Lord, okay, show me give it to me where I can get it. And I did. Now, I remember doing that when I asked him the difference between faith and trust. I always relate them as the same thing. In my old writings, if I applied faith to the definition of faith that he gave me, it's a definer. It defines. See, faith is a verb. That's why it's a definer. If a man was unsaved, he believed on Jesus, he's redefined as a covenant child of God. So faith is a definer. The Lord gave me that definition. And then a few years after that, I said, well, what's your definition of trust? He said, trust is reliance. I said, so it's a difference. And then he said, trust is a noun. He taught me that, you know, trust is a noun, while faith is a verb. I said, come on, Lord, give it to me where I can get it. He said, faith is trust before you see, and trust is faith after you've seen. Now, this is the biggest purpose of trust. Trust, let's say a man is skilled at operating in faith just like Israel was. All right, they did everything Moses said. They walked, they crossed the sea on dry land, but they still complained about water. They complained about meat. They always wanted to go back to Egypt. Every time they got a little uncomfortable, they complained 10 times till they had to wander the wilderness till they all died. They never learned to trust. They saw the miracles. They were there. But they never understood the Lord. They saw the Lord as Pharaoh. That's why I say that. The Lord told me this clue. He said, and I've said it so many times, but in case this is the only broadcast you may have heard, at a friend's funeral, the Lord, I was going to read the scriptures. But the Lord gave me an exhortation. He said to the people, the way children see children, their view of God is shaped by their first authority figures. See, the first authority figures on a child's life shape the way they see God. So that gave me the clue I needed to understand why Israel didn't trust God. They saw authority figure as Pharaoh. And that's a problem in the world now. Every king, every president, they shape. If the parents fear the king, then that's how God is, because he's an authority figure. So some people love God. They see beyond that and they love him. And some people think that, you know, he's like the president, vice president, senators, our government. God's not haywire. He's not like our presidents and kings of this earth. He's like he is. He's like the word says. Some people receive, they walk in greater glory because they see God as he is, more than others who see him as these crazy presidents and kings. And not all kings and presidents are crazy. But so they couldn't trust Pharaoh, so they couldn't trust God because they saw him as Pharaoh. Now, but they could trust that they would be faithful without trust. And it's possible to do it. So let's take a man that's skilled at having faith in Jesus. And then Jesus give him something. See, when you're faithful, you're gonna come to a point. It's time for you to go into the next glory. And when the Lord introduces it to you, if you don't trust him, you won't enter it. And that's the problem that I've seen more than I desire to talk about. Some people get to the threshold of the next glory and they stay right there where they're at. And they, you know, or when they get to a point, well, I got it now. I got this. No, you don't. You didn't have it in the first place. You obeyed God and you trusted him till you stopped trusting him. And that's where you stopped and that's where you're going to stay. But if you continue to trust him, you know, when I read Pioneers of Faith at the end of the book, Lester Sumrall said, Lord, I